Hello, and welcome to episode 135 of the Sea Control Podcast, hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security. My name is Matthew Marighi, your senior producer for Sea Control. On this week's episode, we have Ashley O'Keefe of SIMSEC interview Admiral Jeff Harley, the president of the Naval War College. The discussion examines the evolving mission of the War College, its newest initiatives, and the role of history and wargaming in military education. We'll get started with this eye-opening interview after a brief word about our organization.
SIMSEC brings you the best content on maritime security, technology, history, and international affairs. And, like the United States, SIMSEC is, and always will be, free. Sign up to become a member today by visiting www.cimsec.org/about/membership, which gets you daily emails of our articles and a WordPress account that sends your own writings directly to our editorial staff. However, admin, special projects, software, events, and prizes do cost money. There is a new option to make a voluntary monthly donation at the bottom of every SIMSEC article. No matter how you choose to support us, those who volunteer for leadership, our amazing content producers, our readers, our listeners, our conference planners and attendees, and our financial benefactors, we are incredibly grateful. Remember, Sea Control is more than just a podcast, and SIMSEC is more than just a website. We are a vibrant community built on a passion for discovery and discussion. Sign up, write, donate, comment, or even leave 5 stars on our iTunes page. Join us today.
Good afternoon and welcome to this week's Sea Control Podcast. I'm Ashley O'Keefe and I'm here with Rear Admiral Jeff Harley, the president of the U.S. Naval War College. He's a career surface warfare officer and a foreign policy expert. He has a master's from Tufts, the Fletcher School, and the Naval War College, and he's been the president here at the Naval War College for almost a year, so we're really looking forward to this discussion. Thank you again for being here, Admiral.
My pleasure.
So many of our listeners have heard of the Naval War College, and most know about the core mission of educating future naval leaders, but there have been some big developments here over the past year with an expanding mission set and several new initiatives launched here in Newport. Can you describe some of the impetus for those changes?
So the big change that we have as a function of our strategic plan, meaning that we have a plan on how we're going to keep the college relevant. So you look at the strategic environment around us and you recognize the exponential change everywhere, you know, whether it's in leadership or whether it's in technology. But the demands placed on the educational system as a result of that exponential change requires that we do things to ensure our relevancy. So some of the initiatives that we have are a function of that change, trying to keep up with that change and maintaining our relevancy. So we have a number of missions here at the college, and of course I'd probably start off by saying, when people talk about the U.S. Naval War College, we're really none of those things. We're not U.S., we're an international school. Of our student body, 1/6 of them, some 110 students, are international students. We are not a naval college. We are a joint college. We are comprised of students from all over the interagency, civilian entities, all of the different respective services. But we are a joint college and not merely naval. We are a war college in a sense that we study war, but we truly study the constructs of peace and the understanding of policy and strategy and the interrelationships between the two, all with a goal of preventing war. And then it's probably trivial, but we're not really a college, we're a university because we have 4 or 5 independent colleges within our system, as well as a very large research arm that includes war gaming capacity. So we're really none of those things, U.S. Naval War College. If we changed our name, I guess it would be something like the International Joint Peace University, something like that. So it'd be fairly complex. But the impetus really is the change that's going on around us. And so we have expanded our missions to reflect that change and that requirement for us to maintain that relevancy. And we also look, of course, at how you make a great institution even greater. So as you said, you know, our principal mission, the core mission on which everything else builds, is the education and development of future leaders. That's our student body throughput. It's also a reflection of our distance education capability. We have hundreds of thousands of people enrolled in our distance education programs, the College of Distance Education. We have principally four missions in the past, and the second one would be to help define the future Navy, whether that's fleet architecture studies or helping to red team those studies, helping to provide the home of thought, some of the strategic underpinnings of those kind of dialogues. Our third mission was support combat readiness, and we do that through our College of Operational and Leadership. And what they do, of course, is they have a number of advise and assist teams that work closely with the fleets. They participate in conferences and events and war gaming all over the world to do that. And then our fourth mission always was strengthen global maritime partnerships, which we do on a number of levels, including the International Sea Power Symposium every other year, a number of regional alumni symposiums, as well as the international student throughput that goes with that. The additional missions that we've added in some ways reflect things that we already do, but they also reflect expansion in these areas as well. So we've added three relatively new missions. The first of those three new missions is promoting ethics and leadership. And of course, when we talk about educating and developing future leaders, we've always had a leadership component, but we folded in a great deal of additional study in the curriculum and working with the Navy Leadership and Ethics Center to expand the impact of our education and training provided to through the education system at the various touch points, and that continues to expand. Second of those three new missions is contributing historical knowledge to shape decisions. And so we've always had a strong history here and reflected in our world-class archives and in our history center, and we're expanding our maritime history center to be a maritime history and research center, and we're trying to build this into a hive of activity. Understanding history is critical. History may not repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme, as they say. And so having a world-class history and research center here, I think, is critical to our future development within the college. Of course, in the 1970s, Admiral Stansfield Turner had the Turner Revolution, in which he imbued history throughout the entire curriculum. And it remains to this day part of the national treasure of being able to attend this college, the historical underpinnings that you get in terms of understanding strategy and policy. And then the last mission is providing input to the international legal community. We do that through our Stockton Center that contributes to the international dialogue on everything from law of the sea to law of war and conflict prevention and humanitarian assistance and just simply so much more. So the impetus was indeed the change that's going on around us. That's the need to maintain our relevancy here at this extraordinary institution. These new missions are simply a reflection of that need.
Thank you, Admiral. It must be a really exciting time to be here at the War College. So when you talk about these new missions and some of the expanded, or at least writing down the things that were already happening to some extent, what is some of the work that you see coming out of places like the Maritime History Center, the Stockton Center, that's exciting to you? What do you think is some of the impacts that you might see coming from those places inside of the War College?
Well, I would think that we're really on the forefront of so much of the thinking in so many different areas. So illuminating history, I think, is is the contribution of the History Center, and again, soon to be renamed History and Research Center. History has that critical role in so many things that we do, and of course there's so much history embedded in the institution, but also within our curriculum, providing that historical foundation, which often for many of the students with very technical backgrounds, the first time they get this extent of historical underpinning. And then the Stockton Center contributes an enormous amount to the dialogue at both the maritime level, the national level, and the international level on the issues of the day, key critical issues that you see every day, such as the law of the sea issues in the South China Sea vis-a-vis China, or the law of war or conflict prevention, or the interfaces with the United Nations. It's pretty extraordinary, the things that we're doing. I'll just torture you for a second with this idea of using those kind of examples, the representative examples of history and the International Law Center, as simply being a reflection of the contributions that the college makes at the national level. And so we're continuing to expand, you know, how we ensure that relevancy of those seven missions. And we're doing that through what I call the ISES. The first of those is we're going to continue to operationalize the Naval War College. And we're doing that by enhancing the operations analysis that we do in concert with experimentation through the Naval Warfare Development Command, as well as the modeling and simulation that takes place within the Pentagon and other places. We're operationalizing in terms of the way that we're adding additional warfighting education to our curriculum. And we're adding a fair amount, particularly in the area of sea control and all domain access. We've reflected the strategic environment in which we live through the stand-up of the Russia Maritime Studies Institute here last fall. So now we have world-class experts in a critical area of geopolitical interest for our nation. We are navalizing our curriculum a bit. So we've always been a joint college, at least for the last several decades. But I think we've become reliant on this idea that sea control is something that you already have. In today's world of anti-access capabilities, it's really important that we teach sea control, maritime superiority, all in accordance with the Chief of Naval Operations design for maintaining maritime superiority. We're also futurizing the college. We've got a expanded and much more robust cyber curriculum. We're teaching unmanned systems. We're teaching space. We're teaching the new and emerging technologies that influence the strategic environment. Within that futurization initiative is the creation of an Institute for Future Warfare Studies, which is going to allow us to look 30 or more years out into the future instead of the natural tendency to look for at a very short period of time because of the exponential change. But you can study future probabilities, and you can look that far out, and then you can look at force architectures that would be required to work in that environment, say 30 years from now. And then the last thing we're doing in terms of those ISES is we're internationalizing our college. And by that I mean that we're expanding the international interfaces that we have. We're increasing the number of regional alumni symposiums that we execute with our international graduates in between our International Sea Power Symposium that we conduct every 2 years. We've increased the number of Chief of Naval Operations International Fellows that we have on board as part of our faculty. Just a month ago, we brought on the former head of Navy from Japan, Admiral Takei. So now Professor Takei is part of our faculty and staff and brings a great deal of experience and warfighting experience to help shape the contours of the education that we provide both to our student body throughput, but for our wargaming, as well as our advise and assist teams that are really all over the world. And this fall, we hope to bring on board the former head of Navy from Norway. And in doing so, we'll have the Atlantic experience, the Arctic exposure, and obviously some NATO integration. So that'll increase our CNO International Fellows to 4, and we look to continue to expand that program because of the great skill sets that they can bring to the college and to the education for our individual students. So those four I's really put into context the means, the lines of efforts by which we hope to maintain the relevancy of this great institution.
Sir, it's a lot, and it's super exciting that as the college expands and just creates value on so many different levels that people can access and find, and it's not insular, it's really very global in perspective. And many of our listeners are, in fact, not in the United States. They're foreign naval officers, they're otherwise interested maritime security people. And so when we think about how the college does interact, I understand that they have, that here at the college you take in foreign naval officers for education, but what are some other places where the War College is collaborating internationally? Maybe you could talk a little bit about the regional alumni symposia and what those bring to the table.
Sure. Oh, so the big effort that we make is the International Sea Power Symposium here in Newport. The next one will be in the fall of 2018. That will be a largely attended event. It'll have more something on the order of 85 heads of Navy here. To keep the momentum going between the International Sea Power Symposiums, we do hold these regional alumni symposiums. So about a month ago, we held one in Lima, Peru, and it was really the Americas, everything from Canada all the way down through South America, and it's simply extraordinary. We talk regional and local issues. We bring world-class experts in from the respective nations as well as from your U.S. Naval War College, and it helps us to maintain the alumni relations and to develop a deeper understanding of the issues that affect the regions. And we rotate through in a cycle to basically get to all the different regional areas of the world. Our next one is scheduled for this fall. It'll be in the Middle East. Then we'll be in Asia in the spring. Then we'll do the International Sea Power Symposium in next fall. And then we'll keep the rotation going between Africa and Europe. So it's a pretty exciting opportunity to maintain those alumni relations and their connections to the college that many of our international student graduates have come to know and love and respect for the contributions that we make in this international dialogue.
So one more last hot topic before I let you go, sir. Everybody loves to talk about wargaming. It's it's been hot since, I suppose, Sims and Loose, but today we're talking about it as well. So what are some of the new developments or focus areas? I see it pop up a couple times in those new mission areas that you talked about. Could you maybe just explain a little bit more what you're doing here?
Well, I think you're right. There's certainly been a renaissance in wargaming.
That's a good word.
Led by the Secretary Work in the Pentagon. We've revitalized our wargaming program in a number of different ways. And so we're really focusing hard on integrating the wargaming through the ops analysis community. And by that I mean with the folks who do modeling and simulation and those who do experimentation. So there is a greater effort to have that level of integration so that your wargaming is informed by the experimentation that's taking place, and the experimentation that you're doing is informed by the wargaming that you're doing. And apply that same argument to the interfaces with modeling and simulation. We're also slowly expanding the amount of wargaming that we're doing with the student body. So we of course have groups that are student-led in terms of the wargaming. It's essentially their elective while they're here at the college. But we're trying to give wargaming exposure to every student who comes through this great college. So everybody will have an opportunity to participate in wargaming. We're expanding the analysis that we're doing in the wargaming, putting the appropriate focus on the quality of the analysis to make the war games even better through the strategic enterprise of our Navy. The scheduling of the gaming has been refined to the point to offer the optimal output for the capacity that we have and integration with all of the other entities that do war gaming as well. So you're absolutely right. There's so much going on in war gaming and within our research, all integrated into the broader Navy analytic agenda. We're excited about the ability to imbue each and every student with a fundamental understanding of the contributions that wargaming can make.
Well, sir, I think that you're going to get a spike in applicants here as our SimSec listeners get all excited about the new things that the War College is doing and just how vibrant this community is here. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover this afternoon or leave our listeners with anything to close?
So I'm humbled and honored to serve here at your U.S. Naval War College. We do look forward to being able to maintain the dialogue with the international community, providing appropriate strategic thinking to our national leadership, particularly on maritime issues. But we do so much to contribute to that dialogue, and we're just honored and humbled to be a part of the dialogue that takes place in this most demanding and complex of times.
Well, thank you again for your time this afternoon, Admiral.
Thank you.
That concludes episode 135 of the Sea Control Podcast from the Center for International Maritime Security. I'm Matt Marighi, your senior producer for Sea Control. Special thanks to our host, Ashley O'Keefe, our guest, Admiral Harley, and our producer, Ryan Yulia. If you enjoyed this podcast and you haven't already yet subscribed to Sea Control, please do. Subscribing gives you automatic access to all of our episodes as they become available. And if you really like us, go on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and tell all of your friends to tune in. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time on Sea Control.